Hi, and welcome to Wasted Takes episode 300. Spartans, what is your profession?
We have no Cam for 300.
No, Cam is on his way. But 300, big milestone. Far too many. Should have quit while we were ahead. But here we are, 300 weeks later, 300 plus weeks later. Still going strong. Still doing the show, despite bumps in the road. But we're here, and we're going to be here. I'm Trey, joined as always by Tucker and Dylan. As mentioned, Cam's on his way. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Living the dream.
300!
300.
I am stoked for this one, let me tell you. I remember episode one, back in the dark ages of me not knowing football. We bring it up all the time. So look at me now.
Expert. Yeah,
I will say Dylan's ball knowledge has gone up exponentially over the course of this podcast.
Most I was improved. At about 7% knowledge. Now I'm at like 70% knowledge, so I'm pretty happy with that.
He won like most improved at the Wasties a couple years ago, didn't he? Just thinking through the airs of the show, my basement to Tucker's apartment situation with the dog running around. What's that dog's name?
Jax. My guest house in the mansion that I lived in.
Yeah, the guest house to Zoom. I've done this show from 1, 2, 3, 4 different apartments now.
A couple episodes at the Triangle.
Episodes at the Triangle, episodes at Tucker's current house, episode at Cam's house one time. I think Tucker wasn't there for that one. But
we got to get one at the Rectangle now.
Yep, Rectangle studio down in the basement, studio space. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us for 300 episodes. If you're still here, we appreciate it. Shout out John, shout out Marge. Those are our only listeners we know of. Shout out the guys in Thailand or wherever the hell they are. Canada, that one guy in Canada, shout him out.
Sam Waugh.
Chris Zaff, who I think has listened to the first 10 episodes of this show like 4 times and just never gets to the modern day.
Yeah, he just texts us and he's like, oh, you know, 5 years ago you had a really bad take about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, shout out the guests, Linnea, Simon, who came
Simon,
on, Hurley.
Simon was an all-time guest.
Yeah.
Came in here and just started talking shit.
Hurley, who was just a mess. Was it Mark Tucker, the first guest? Cam's buddy who said bet the house on Cowboy Cerrone, and he got clocked in the face in round one against McGregor.
Was that the flying knee?
Yeah.
Fight? It was like the fastest fight in history?
Yeah.
That was probably the worst take ever made on the show.
One of them. Al Poliak. Who else? Yeah. Shout out the guests. Shout out the listeners. Shout out anyone who's voted on a poll. 300. We're still here. Speaking of polls, didn't get one up this week. Episode was delayed coming out. This one's on Tuck.
This one's on me. Fully.
Also, Wasted Takes Parlay goes to 1-9 for the second time in 3 weeks. We missed it by one leg. This time, the hottest gambler in America goes down.
Trey, I was completely on the same page as you that I knew that bet wasn't hitting the second everyone else
did. It was too good.
It's one of those situations where you have to know.
Everyone else improves the record. I am now tied with Tucker, best gambler on the pod, 8-2.
We are
smoking.
I'm not anymore, but two of us going 8-2. This might be the best gambling podcast in the country.
Could be. Dylan moves to 4-5, nearly pulls to 500.
Cam 5-5. Forgot about the wheel again.
The wheel is not yours.
The wheel counts.
It counts for the wheel. The wheel's 1-0.
Can we bring up the instituting the one cash out?
So should we institute this now or should we institute it in the beginning of next year?
I think we institute it now.
I don't think either. I think it needs to be a democracy.
We can vote on it.
Well, yeah, we got three people here. can't tie.
Shit.
The proposed legislation, which I have put forth, is we've run into situations too many times where we're waiting for the late game and the cash out looks good, not great. But if we take them, you know, we're making money and we never take them. And first it was Cam calling for the cash. Then everyone was against it. Then I called for the cash. We said, let it ride. And we've
lost. I've been for the cash every time, always.
Yeah.
I've never not been for the cash.
So the legislation proposed is each member of the podcast gets one cash out proclamation to use once per year, where you can call in your cash out and there can't be any arguments on it.
I'm not going to like one of your bets, and I'm just going to call for a cash out when we place it.
Now, how about this? If you cash out, if we do the cash out, you call your cash out. Oh, geez, I just spilled water everywhere.
Well, hold that thought, I guess.
I don't have paper towels. I've used them up. If you use your cash and the bet would not have hit, you get it back.
I disagree.
Yeah, and I have my alternate take is if you use the cash and the bet hits, you have to pay the group.
your winnings. Ooh, that does add a wrinkle to this. Your winnings from the cash out get split to everybody else.
That's a good idea. We might have to workshop this a little more.
That's a good idea.
But then you get it back. Then you get it back. If the other way around.
Yeah, no. If the bet doesn't hit, you get your fair share. If the bet hits and you cashed, you forfeit your profit. You get your bet back. You get your $10 back. All right. We'll workshop him.
That would be hilarious.
We'll workshop him more. All right. Wasted takes. I'm sad Cam's not here for this one. I got a wasted take. And
go last.
Did we do winners and losers?
Is there anything you have?
I just want to give myself a winner on my Drake May for MVP take.
Yeah, it's looking good. It's not there yet, but it's looking good.
My take was he's going to be a top five candidate.
Oh, okay. Then yes, it's looking very good.
Yeah. Just want to shout myself out for that one.
Yep. No, absolutely.
Should have bet it. Didn't bet it.
New thing to bring up, that water I spill. Can't find it.
How does that happen?
What does that mean?
I think it seeped into a hole or something in the floor.
Well,
it'd be down in the basement.
Added to the foundation of your home. That's good. That's what you want. All right, who's got a take if I'm going last?
I do not. I didn't think we were recording right now, if I'm being honest with you.
I got a take.
Go ahead.
Boston Bruins just won again today. Beat the Canadians in a home and home, a couple days apart. That Maple Leafs.
Not the Canadians.
That's what I meant. Correct. Maple Leafs. We are daddy to the Maple Leafs. It's just hilarious. Even if we were on a 10-game losing streak, we would beat the Canadians down at home. Jeez, the Leafs. Now, we started off hot, won three games, and we lost six or seven in a row. I think it was six. And then we've just lost or won seven in a row. Now we're like four games over 500 or something. In a decent spot. This team could be a playoff team. We have played more games than everybody else than I think every other team. But our points percentage or win percentage, I think in hockey they do it based on points because you get the OT points. It's about middle of the pack, like touching the bottom of the top third. That's kind of right where I thought we would be. But I am excited. Beginning of the year, this team was thought by everybody to be very bad. be like the bottom of the Atlantic Division, not really do anything. There's a, like a glimmer of hope potentially of a playoff spot, but like it was like it was well, if the first 15 games don't go well, the tank is on. The tank is definitely not on at this point. We're playing well. I think we'll continue to play pretty decent. But the take is coach of the year will go to Marco Stern. Now, every time the Bruins win coach of the year, their coach is then fired the following season. It happened to the past two. Happened to Monty, and before that happened to Bruce. So the take is Marco Sturm wins coach of the year and then gets fired next year.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous thing that the Bruins like to do where they don't want to blame the front office and they pin it all on the coach and fire him. And we've let go of two good coaches now in a row. Coach of the year, I don't know. I haven't seen enough from Sturm. I really haven't been following the winning streak. I kind of caved after they were really bad. Like, what, 3 weeks ago? They were having a terrible time. So mm-hmm. I kind of paid them no mind. I put them in the pay no mind corner. And I know that Sturm was not doing a good job then. And but it sounds like obviously they've turned it around a lot. They're beating decent teams. I can't speak to coach of the year. I the guy doesn't juice me up. I haven't watched behind
like
the
him.
Or anything. Yeah. I'm not into him. Just he bores me. And cause I probably haven't done a deep enough dive. I think it's probably the German aspect of it, you know, can't relate to him as easily as I can relate to a North American. So, but you know what?
He was on the team, though.
I know that. Yes, I do know that. I am going to agree with you because just on the basis of this team needs to keep competing and tanking doesn't work. And I think that's been proven in like every other sport, especially hockey, where it's like you look at these teams that have missed the playoffs. A bunch of them are like going on a decade of not making the playoffs. And it's like hockey seems like if you're going into a rebuild, it's going to be a 5 to 10 year rebuild. It's not going to turn around in 2 years. It's not going to turn around in 3 years. You're looking at a decade of suck. And I think that doesn't work. I think that the Bruins should not go that approach. So if they're going to keep winning and that means coach of the year, I'll agree. And of course, they'll fire him because they'll probably be bounced in the first round of playoffs and they'll look for a scapegoat. They'll probably get mega hot and they'll be like the hottest team in hockey. And then they'll lose in the first round of the playoffs and everyone will be like, how this happened? And they'll blame the coach. Or the baby players will be like, he's not nice enough to me. Because I have seen that he's a little meaner than Monty was. And
oh,
I know
I
they didn't like how Bruce was mean to them. So the baby players will get him fired. So I'll agree.
I think they traded all the baby players. Now, Tucker's going to have nothing to say on the topic, so I'm just going to respond to you. You can continue to look you up your take.
No, I was looking up your take, Frank.
All right, go ahead.
I would have
to Dylan brought disagree. Juice for 300.
My chat GPT I've been trying to use for this has actually been doing a really poor job, but from what I see, the teams that win coach of the year usually have around 50 wins. I don't think the Bruins are 50 plus wins. I don't think the Bruins are a 50 win team. That I just don't think that's what they are. I can see them getting 40. I don't see them getting 50. Maybe 40. Couple
They're on pace.
This is a rebuild year. I fully believe the rebuild is still on. I hope the rebuild is on because they don't have the talent. They need to get a rebuild in. Get yourself a Drake May in the draft. I'm a full rebuild guy.
We don't cross sports.
So we don't have to go too deep into this, but the reason why I'm saying that, and it's not just like, oh, the team's good, so coach of the year, blah, blah, blah. We were, again, slated to be very, very bad. Our lineup is nothing to write home about, but every single player is playing out of their minds right now. A lot of young guys, a lot of fourth liners from other teams that barely showed the light of day. We had a guy score today against the Maple Leafs who was on the Maple Leafs his entire career, was in their minor league team, the Marlies, and is the Marlies' leading scorer all time. He just sat in the minors for like 7 years and just racked up the points and never played in the NHL. Got traded to Boston, scores against his old team. Super hype. So, like, we're just the team, the players are playing better than expected. And I think, one, that's a coaching thing. But the other thing is that he came in and he completely changed the system. He had changed the defensive structure. He changed the breakout structure. He changed the offensive zone philosophy. That's why we kind of went on a tough streak for the 6-game losing streak, was that all these players that have been playing on the Bruins and playing in the NHL for so many years are so used to this standard system that the Bruins play, or change the system. So if they change this system and this team of a bunch of nobodies does really, really well, I mean, that's
If
obviously a
you're
coaching thing.
supposed,
This
it's the
never
same thing
happens.
with Vrabel, where you're supposed to be a shitty team and you're playing really well, then you're gonna get automatically get if your roster sucks, you're automatically gonna get coach of the year nods. So
Right,
I
but it's
agree.
more than just that. It's like they literally are changing how the Bruins play hockey. And if
No,
they pull that off,
big guy
no other
Bruins.
team does that. Like no team just changes their entire structure. That never happens. Anyway, that's it.
Well, if they fire him, then that would be unbelievable, but it is very Bruins. Tucker, do you have one?
I do. And mine is, you know what? It's playoff sports related. Jesus, I keep getting calls. But it's the Celtics. People have kind of started to say the same thing about the Celtics, it being a rebuild year. We're not going to have it. But the fact of the matter is, 10 teams make it in the East. And Jason Tatum is coming back for the playoffs, and they're going to be coming back with a vengeance. These Celtics will make it in as a play-in team with Jason Tatum back and will go on a run to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know what the history of play-in teams are. I don't believe any
The
have made
Heat.
it. Oh, yeah, shoot. I forgot about the Heat. But
Well, that
yes,
just means it can be done.
it means it can be done. You're right, Dylan. I love
Flip
that
it.
take.
Flip it.
Been done before, it can be done again.
So I disagree because I think they're better than a playoff team, a play-in team. I think the East kind of sucks, honestly. I think you've got Orlando, who they handled last night, is good. Cleveland,
They're not even in currently.
Yeah, they've had a bad year to start, right? So coming into the year, it was Orlando, it's Cleveland, New York. And then the rest of it's kind of a wash to me. Like, yeah, Indiana doesn't have Halliburton. I guess you have the Bucks with Giannis, but who knows? They have had some weak years lately. I think they're better than a play-in team. I think they should be the 5-6 seed. Honestly, I think the Sixers again. They played them tonight. I don't know what the score was. They're tied right now with 3 minutes left. The Sixers, I guess. I think they're on par with like that type of team. I don't think they're a playing team. I do think they are a playoff team. And I'm the same thing I'm saying. The rebuild thing doesn't. I think for this team, it's different than the Bruins because the Bruins are so talent sapped. But this team still has obviously. You still have Derek White. You still have Jaylen Brown, who is kind of disappointing me, but he's having good nights here and there. The hairline thing is crazy for him.
Playing pretty well.
Yeah, he has been. He's been playing well. He started slow. Anyway, you still have the kind of the core of your team, Peyton Pritchard. They have these guys that 2 years ago won a championship. So I don't think they're in a bad spot, as bad a spot as the Bruins. I think this team should be competing for a, 4 to 6 seed. And I think that's what they're going to end up with. In terms of going on a run, it depends on how healthy JT really is. I know we're all hearing he's making this miraculous recovery. I tend to look at it with a cynical eye. I think the one thing I will say about him is when he's cleared to play, he's going to play. It's one of the best qualities about him. He doesn't do load management. He shows up for every game. He'll take a game off here and there, but he's not doing it like a bunch of these other guys. He's a player. He's going to play. So as if they're in that five seed spot and he is cleared, he will come back and they'll win a round. Eastern Conference Finals might be too high. That I don't know about their depth, especially their front court.
They don't have much. Their front court is bad.
Yeah, their front court's really bad. They lost
all their big guys. I mean, yeah. Xavier Tillman's getting like...
I don't know if Nemus Kata is going to be a guy that turns into a player for you. I highly doubt it. Luka Garza, like people like this, I don't think they have the horses up front to necessarily win it this year, but I disagree with you because I don't think they will be a playing team. I think they will make the playoffs standard and they'll win a round, but I don't see them winning a championship or going to the Eastern Conference Final. Dill? You with us, Dill?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think if this half decent sort of basketball team makes it to a fifth seed without Jason Tatum, is there a realm of possibility where within a 7-game series, having him come back would screw up the mojo?
No,
I don't think so. I think if Jaylen Brown was having a, you know, career type breakout year, maybe, but he's playing well. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's proving to anyone like, hey, I'm a certified number one in this league, at least from what I'm seeing.
All right. Well, I'm always.
You're a JT hater.
I'm just skeptical of that. And he's thrown up some stinkers. Like, first game back, I don't think it's going to go particularly well for the first few games he comes back, but you never really know. So, frankly, if the team was riding high without him going into a playoff series, I would almost want him not to come back.
I get it, but I think he's too...
We're deep enough, especially in the front court, to shrug off Jason Tatum. We don't have the pieces up there. Like, instead of giving Jason Tatum minutes, we're giving, what's that bald guy's name? The guy that looks like Charlie
Walsh.
Villanueva.
Jordan Walsh.
Yeah, like, Jordan Walsh is getting those minutes. It's not like we're putting a great player out there and... You know, we can run a smaller lineup and not have to run Xavier Tillman in our starting lineup.
Listen, listen, listen. The Bruins were up 3-0 or whatever it was against the Panthers 3 years ago, whenever it was.
3-1, I think.
3-1. 4 games without Bergeron, our number one center. Bergeron comes back, we proceed to lose the next 3 games. Don't fuck with the mojo.
I think basketball is just so different, though. And I used to be a Tatum skeptic like you. I said when he won, I drop it. I've dropped it. He's a baller, and he's only going to make them better.
Do you think he would make it about himself?
No, I don't think he's like that. I don't think he's a selfish player. I really don't. I have nothing but good things to say about Jason Tatum, really. He's evolved in my eyes. He's still not a killer. He's not a killer. I'll give you that. He's not a killer. He's a little bit. He freezes up in the big moments a little bit, but I still think he's an unbelievable talent. And if he's healthy, top 10 in the NBA easily. But I get what you're saying, Dill, though. I just think it's very different than hockey.
I agree, Chuck.
I've held my take for as long as possible. I don't know if Gamp's coming tonight. He's at a big corporate dinner. Couldn't make it. I'm talking Giants head coaching search. Now, we swore off the Giants on this podcast. Cam's not here. We can talk about them. Giants fired Daboll. I think it's the right move. They stink. He was 20-40-1 as a head coach. I get he had the one good year. I get he developed Josh Allen. Clearly, it was not working there. I think the whole place needs to be cleaned house. They got to start from square one. Now, who's next to coach? I've heard some interesting names, and one is sticking out to me. As a former NFL head coach, currently wasting away in college, wasting his talents in college. And I know what you guys are thinking. He's going to take the easy route. He's going to go Belichick.
Patricia.
No. He's going to go Belichick. I'm not going Belichick. I think that everybody's woken up to the issues that Bill has, and I really don't know if he's hireable. Now, that being said, he has the Giants connection. He has the Giants history. I think it'd be an interesting story. I don't think he's totally out of the candidacy. The guy I'm looking at, if I'm the New York Giants, is a guy that has a deep connection with the quarterback, that can develop the quarterback, had a run as a head coach who did not succeed in the NFL. It was terrible, actually. And he's been in college for 20 years now, to moderate success. The head coach of Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin. I think that Lane Kiffin should be the next head coach of the New York Giants. Now, a little bit of context for you, Dill, as I imagine you probably don't know. Jackson Dart went to Ole Miss. That Lane Kiffin was his head coach. Offensive guy, younger guy. He's like 50. Coached the Raiders.
Why do I know this name?
He's had some controversies here and there. He's an entertaining character.
I know who this is.
Yeah, he's an entertaining character, but perfect timing. There he is. The take is that Lane Kiffin is the next head coach of the New York Giants. That's a take. Tucker?
I like this take. I disagree. I don't know why Lane Kiffin just doesn't scream NFL head coach. I feel like he's where he should be in college. But I really do like it. Yeah, I mean, he would work so well with that core. I feel like he'd work well with Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabo. I don't know. I feel like it's not going to be who they go with, but I do like the take.
Bill?
See, the thing with me and the Giants is the same thing with the Jets, really, is, like, for whatever reason, football, you need, like, a team identity. You know what I mean? The Patriots were, under Bill, were always, like, the next guy up, do your job. It's like a business. Everybody's accountable. Way more than other teams were doing stuff like that at the time. The Giants, to me, for years have been searching for their own identity as a team. I think they have like a New York identity guy that people like to get behind in Dart. I think they like Scadaboo for a similar reason. Nothing would be better than Lane Kiffin coaching the Giants, I think, for the Giants, for that identity. I think it would be a great move. I'll agree.
Now, a lot of times these second time go round NFL head coaches find more success. You look at Pete Carroll. I like that NFL head coach, went to college, came back, had success. I think there's other examples, but I can't name it on the top of my head. Cam, welcome to episode 300. Just in time for us to talk about your team.
This is Sparta. I am on a incredibly terrible journey of delayed flights and travel and work training. So you have me for about the next 5 minutes. I caught the tail end of the take. My take is directly correlated. It's just a different head coach prediction, really, is all it is.
Dueling takes, love it.
I do not see the Lane Kiffin. It's the fun. It's the fun take and all this. Yeah, Jackson Dart played under him. But he's a college coach through and through. He needs to have the banter. He He's not very serious. He's a good coach, definitely a good offensive coach. And I think he's built for the SEC, no doubt about it. And he's going to get a little taste of that this year, but he's going to stick around and just sign that big contract. I don't see it happening. I also, on the other side of things, don't think the Giants would even entertain something like that. They have time and time again gone with a coordinator or somebody that, like Joe Judge, a special teams guy, and they won't make that mistake again. That is why Mike McCarthy right now is atop the totem pole of betting favorites.
That's insane.
I actually probably one of the few Giants that think it's not a bad idea.
All right.
I don't really hate Mike McCarthy. I think he's a fine coach. He did pretty well in Dallas, like record wise, and now look at them now. Anyway, I don't hate the Mike McCarthy thing. That's not who I take. So I disagree with you, Trey. I have my eyes out for one hopeful and one. I mean, they're both kind of long shots. So the John Gruden is who I want and need it to be. That's not the take. I don't think it's logical with this everything going on with the NFL. I think it would be an amazing hire. I think you get Antonio Pierce to run the defense, former Giants superstar linebacker, star linebacker, maybe not super. And it's perfect. Keep Kafka, no, whatever, fine. I don't love Kafka either, but if he's interim, it means he's not leaving, I guess. Bowen is surely to go. The take is somebody else will be the Giants coach. And we saw him last night. He botched a game. He botched the game just like the Giants do. And that's Matt LaFleur. Mm. How's Matt LaFleur going to be the coach, you ask? Well, the Green Bay Packers are not happy with this guy. And apparently they haven't been happy for a while, but they can't really fire him because he's winning. Well, I would like to throw Mike Vrabel's name out in the ring for people that were fired prematurely. And I think that's going to happen to Matt LaFleur. I think the Patriots and the Giants are just living a year apart from one another. Like, they're living the same exact thing. Just a year apart from one another, losing their coach, great young QB, winning three games. They are going to the Packers at the end of the season. Something's going to happen. It's going to be a first round playoff exit. I think that loses him his job, by the way. No playoff win.
I agree. Sure
would lose Matt LaFleur's job. It shouldn't, by the way. It absolutely should not. He's a great coach. But Packers on the team, they want him out. They're going to get him out. Apparently him and Jordan Love maybe butting heads a little bit, and they're going to choose the quarterback every time. I would like this. I think it's cool. I think it would be fun. I think he's proven that he can win a couple games. He can certainly win in the regular season. Get some pieces around him. Matt LaFleur fired after first round playoff exit again, and immediately the Giants hop on. And he's the new head coach.
Yeah, I like this take, Cam. It's interesting. I actually heard his name thrown out today. I didn't know. I didn't have the context of things aren't working in Packerland. I'm not shocked. I'm low on the Packers, which we can talk about later.
They looked bad.
They look bad. And I had said, I think I put a minor F on them last week. And I'm putting a big time F on them this week. I think LaFleur is a good coach. Is he a Super Bowl winning coach? I don't know. But I think, you know, it would be a mistake to fire him. I think Love is the issue. I don't like Jordan Love anymore. I don't think he's very good. Something's wrong with him. But if he shakes free, that would be that would probably be my number one choice if I was you guys. If he shakes free. I know you want the Gruden thing. I still have a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth from Gruden with the Raiders. They were not good, despite his firing for whatever reasons, the emails or whatever. I still don't think they were a good team. So LaFleur would be my number one choice. So I can't agree with you because I have dueling take, but it's interesting. Tuck?
I don't hate this take either. I think this is the better option of the two. If I'm picking between those two, I would take him all day. The question is, do they get rid of him? And I don't think they should, obviously, but I'm not as locked into apparently the Packers universe because I didn't know this was an option. I like this take though. It would be an awesome pickup for them. And it's following that Patriots victory trajectory. So I like it.
Dylan, 2 minutes.
I like this. I love a good shape up. I love a good fire one coach. He goes over here type situation. Happened for us in a good way. I don't know what's going on in Green Bay though. Like something ain't right up there. Maybe it's coach quarterback related. I think the Giants need to do something like ridiculous. Maybe they have co-head coaches. I don't know. They need to do something different down there. So I don't know if this fixes the problem, but I like a good shape up. So I'll agree, Cam.
Cam, a minute left before we switch calls. If you're leaving us any words for 300, any memories you wish to share, any words of wisdom? Cameron? Did we already lose him? Did he pass out in the response?
That's a he mute. That's on me.
That's a mute.
Add to the total.
Hey, I respect the integrity. I respect the integrity. I think that's your first of the year.
Yeah, I'm on me.
Third of the year.
Wow, really? Real quick, yeah, look, it could have come at a better time. It could have during my lockout here, and it's still continuing until Shane Bowen's gone. Let me say this to Brian Daboll. Thanks, man. It just didn't work out. I don't hate Daboll. Got no bad blood. He's a good OC. He's a good coordinator. He couldn't wear all the hats, right?
Should go back to the Bills.
He should. Too much bad play around him. I appreciate the playoff win. I appreciate your love for our sacred Jackson Dart, truly. The timing was just off. I have no bad blood for Brian Daboll. I wish they would sell the team, to be honest with you. I think that'd be a better option. If I could get Daboll at OC, Gruden at head coach, Antonio Pierce at DC, that's my perfect world. But it's a business at the end of the day. We're going to move on. I am happy that he was fired. I've said this time and time again. I will not be watching. I've caught a little bit of red zone. I texted the group and I said, hey, guys, want to let you know.
Not on purpose.
Not watching on purpose, but I did catch a glimpse of where the Giants are at right now. They need to lose this game so we can get some firings. And they sure did. So it sucks having to root for that. I'm not rooting for the tank. I actually want them to continue winning. Not continue, I guess. I want them to win. I don't think tanking is the right call. I want to get some wins under this young QB's belt, whether he's a starter or not. Put Jameson, dude. Get the fans involved. I'm so serious. Mr. Unlimited. Somebody tweeted Mr. Limited, and I thought that was simple. Simple, effective. But doesn't matter. I won't be watching. Bowen's got to be gone soon, I would imagine. I'm actually kind of concerned why he's not yet. Like what else we're waiting for. But yeah, man, this is State Giants football. We are out another coach. We're excited about it, and maybe I'll get to watch a game this year.
All right, well, thanks for joining us for 300, Cam. Sad you can't be here to enjoy it, but
this is Sparta.
From Cam's depressing attitude towards the Giants, let me just wax poetic here for a minute. Came into this football season thinking the Patriots, you know, we got to improve. There needs to be improvement. We got to win 8 games. We got to be a 500 team. That's where we have to be for this team to be considered a success. get off to a rough start. I wavered, but I still believed, you know, we need to be like a 500 team. Then we started to get on, we started to get on a little roll. We look good. We play the Bills. We beat them. It becomes, all right, this is a playoff team. And then this unbelievable string of seven straight wins happens. And not only do I think this team is going to win the division, especially with the Buffalo Bills being in the situation they're in, this is a Super Bowl contending football team that we are watching. This team can win a Super Bowl. I am the pessimistic energy is gone. It is optimism for the rest of the season for me. They proved it. Everyone says the weak schedule. I don't put a lot of stock into the weak schedule thing. They're beating the piss out of bad teams, which is a sign that you're a good team. And I said, I think 2 weeks ago, I said, this is just a good team. That's just what they are, is a good team. They have a chance to be a great team. And they've played two playoff teams. They've beaten them both. I don't think the Falcons are going to be a playoff team, right?
They're probably Steelers could be considered a playoff Steelers, team.
Okay. Well, 2-1, but the Steelers, everybody knows that they're not legit. No one's taking them seriously. That game was pathetic. They should have won that game. Of the two real games they played against playoff teams, real knockdown, drag out football games, real football games they played, they beat them both. And frankly, they kind of were beating the shit out of the Bucs until they took their foot off the gas, which I'm going to touch on. But this team's proved it to me. They should have proved it to everybody. They are a top three team in the AFC. I'm not scared of anyone, honestly. The Chiefs obviously are the favorites, you know, and I think they're going to be really hard to knock off. But coming into Gillette, that atmosphere in the cold with everything is just going the Patriots' way right now. Literally everything is going their way. All their major free agent signings are making a difference. The rookies are starting to show up. The quarterback is obviously playing at an unbelievable level. The teams around them are wilting. Everything is going their way. It feels like a kind of a magical year. The head coach is out there holding the hands of injured players. You can tell they love each other. They're playing for each other. I'm telling you, there's something about this team. When we had Mac Jones, and I would try to picture him on that Super Bowl stage, standing next to Bill Belichick, holding Lombardi, it wasn't a clear image. When we had Gerard Mayo last year, it wasn't a clear image. I can see Drake May and Mike Vrabel up on that stage. I can see it in my mind's eye. And I know that doesn't account for a lot. That doesn't mean anything. But I'm telling you, there's something about this team. They can make a push. They can win a Super Bowl. I am bought in 100%. This game was excellent. They faced adversity. They overcame it. Drake made mistakes, had his worst game since the Steelers game in terms of QBR. The team showed up. They're getting just guys to make a difference. Kyrus Tonga, who was, I remember the day they signed him, I was like, this is a nothing signing. It was, I think, at the second day of free agency, nothing signing. Turns out he's actually a really good football player on both sides of the ball. Diggs is playing at an elite level. Henderson's starting to pop. Just everything's working. The one nitpick I'll have is I feel like they take their foot off the gas. And Romo mentioned it in the broadcast. It seems like it happened against the Falcons. It happened against the Browns, I feel. They get in to these big leads early in the third quarter, and they game manage. And I don't like it. I want them to keep the foot on their keep the foot on the gas. I get it. You're playing to win the game. You're just kind of going into your shell when you have a big lead. But you're letting teams back into it a little bit. And I think it's playing with fire, especially when you're going to be playing against good teams. At the end of the day, I think anything short of 12 wins is a utter disaster now, which is insane to say, but the rest of the schedule is, you know, you've got some good teams at the end of the year, but they should get to 12, 13 wins. And the way they're playing, I wouldn't be shocked if they win out and go 15-2. It's insane to say. But I'm thrilled. I can't say anything else. The head coach is amazing. The offensive coordinator is amazing. The team is amazing. I don't have anything negative to say other than they need to keep their foot on the gas. Do they have their problems? Sure, but they're overcoming them. This game was a real football game, a rock fight, wet, hot, sticky, rainy, came out and got it done. Thrilled. I think the New England Patriots could win the Super Bowl. Tucker, what do you think of your football team?
I get uncomfortable when we have these conversations with you like this. I don't know what to do when there's no arguing between the two of us. I mean, I'm the optimist and you're the pessimist, but there's not much to be pessimistic about anymore. They've just been playing really well. I'm excited. I mean, I think I'm on pretty much the same page as you on all of this and the fact that they are playing really good football. The coordinators are doing a fantastic job. We're looking.
They don't even have their defensive coordinator and they're still playing well. Like their defensive coordinator is not there and they're still playing well. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, it just, I mean, Vrabel, I feel like, is coaching up that defense. I feel like that has a lot to do with Vrabel. That still up to this point, no one has rushed for 50 yards on the Patriots.
Last week,
that is
the backup, the Tucker guy.
Did someone finally
ironically
get it?
Enough. Yeah, the Tucker running back. He went for like 56. But still, 56 is nothing.
Disappointing. Disappointing. Never mind. Season's off. Kidding, obviously. But this team is just good on offense, on defense. This wasn't a flawless game from Drake May. He made mistakes. He made young QB mistakes.
That pick is terrible.
That pick was terrible. He forced a ball in to try and make it a two-score game late, and he paid the consequences. But the team picked him up in that situation. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is that it's different guys showing up this game. I mean, Travion Henderson was an absolute stud. He's the fastest guy I've ever seen outside of Kyle Williams, who also had a huge catch. I saw the two fastest speeds reached by a rookie this season were Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams in that game.
I did not see that.
Yeah, crazy stat. I mean, they were absolutely moving. They have next level speed, both of them, it felt like. But yeah, this team is just good, man. I'm not saying it's Super Bowl or bust right now because this team's still so young.
I'm not saying that either.
But
I'm not. I'm not going to be disappointed if they don't make the Super Bowl. I'm not going to be disappointed.
I'm on the same page as you. I'm not saying that I don't think we have a chance. I'm just saying I'm not disappointed. This isn't a Super Bowl or bust year. And God damn it, this team has played great football.
Next year, I might be furious with 10 wins. Furious.
Isn't that an awesome place to be, though?
The best. It's where I made my fandom.
Looking at Tankathon last year and getting excited.
Another thing. I think this is the first time since 2020 that this time of the year I'm not calling for the coach's job. So that's exciting as well. Dylan, not a pessimist, I would say, but always the skeptic, warned us against after the Panthers game, right at the start of this big run. They're going to lose and we're going to go back on them. You've already warned us about this game Thursday, which I think is valid because you're a short week against a pathetic team in your house prime time. It is a little bit of a trap spot. I agree with you. I think they should handle the game and win it. But, we've watched this team now for 7 straight weeks. Is any of the skepticism melting away? Do you fully believe in the Patriots? I won't say believe, but fully believe.
It's hard for me because I've seen what dominant teams look like. I've seen when the Patriots were just way better than everybody else. I've seen when the Chiefs were just way better than everybody else. I've seen when the Bills look unbelievable against everybody else. The Patriots are 8-2. And they're not dominant. It's like it's not a dominant 8-2. You know what I mean? Again, we're playing not so great teams. We come off to hot starts in most of all of these games, kind of let the other team squeak in there. If the Falcons hit an extra point or whatever it was, you know, we potentially lose that game. It was trending that way. So you look at it at face value and you say, wow, 8-2, this is amazing. The greatest thing that's ever happened. We're finally back at least a significant way, majority of the way there. Like, I just am on caution watch because I'm not seeing this dominant force of a team, and I'm not saying that they have to be. I'm just saying I'm trying to take in all aspects of how this team is performing and being happy that they're winning and excited for the future. I think we're kind of all in the same boat. We're not going to be upset if we don't make the Super Bowl, don't win the Super Bowl or so. But I'm still kind of leaned back. I think we're still overachieving a little bit.
I mean, there's something to be said about that. I mean, you look at the Commanders right now. They went all the way to the NFC Championship. They overachieved. They were starting a rebuild. A very similar position to the Patriots with a young quarterback at the top of the draft. And now this year they are terrible and like getting smoked. So I think there's something to be said about that. I agree with you.
The one thing I would be significantly worried about for the team too, in general, like it's football, right? And if people get hurt, obviously your team is.
They've had unbelievable injury luck. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to bring up. Like, if you get hurt, you start playing worse, and you deal through it as a team and everything. I don't think this team can handle major injuries.
I agree with you, actually.
So
I really do.
If we get hit with the injury bug to key pieces, I think we're kind of cooked.
I mean, if Drake goes down, we're done.
Yeah. Done. But even like Christian Gonzalez, paper mache man, if he goes down again and then you lose like a really key lineman or like we don't have our backups are like non-existent. So
there's not a lot of depth on this team.
We need to, right. You need to keep people healthy. And that's what you said. You said we practiced out in the cold today after, like it was like, we could practice inside and the team was like, no, we're practicing outside. Like that shows grit. That shows like they're prepared for this short week matchup against the Jets.
It. I love it. So much.
I'm just worried that they just get hurt. That's what I'm worried about at the moment. People getting hurt. Short week in the cold against this dumb, stupid team. We're going to be hopefully prepared, but if like somebody's just like, you know, I could have used an extra day and then boom, they just blow up a hamstring or something. If we, yeah, I'm just worried about the injuries.
Yeah, I think this team, if you get up on them early, they'll quit. If you let them hang, you'll be in trouble.
I think if we score two touchdowns, and say we're up like 17 points at half, I don't want Drake May on the field for the second half.
The pastronaut. But yeah, no, it's a, so Dill, what do you need to see to fully convince you like this team is a contender? Cause they're beating teams. Sometimes they're letting teams back in, but they're beating good teams. They're beating bad teams. Maybe not by as much as they should be. So what do you need to see them do for you to be like, okay, this team can win a Super Bowl?
I don't think I'm gonna see it this year. Right? Because we're playing subpar teams. I mean, we played the Bucks. I know the Bucks are a decent team. Are they winning the division, the shitty division?
The NFC South. They are, yeah. Well, the Saints gained a game on them, but the Saints are cooked. So, yes, they are winning that division.
So, like, kudos to us there. The Bills, they beat the Bills, but the Bills are now the new funny team. So, But that's the other thing too. It's all the good teams, the quote unquote quintessential good teams over the past 7 years, they're all playing like not well either this year. We got random teams in the leads on of divisions. It nothing makes sense. So I'm just sitting here watching the games. I think if we played like some of the better, you know, quarterback leading teams head-to-head matchup, and we just beat the brakes off of them, off a few of those teams, then I'd be like, okay, damn, this team's really good. Or at least played them really close, but we're not playing those games. So it's like hard for me to judge, I guess.
So that's another thing I think, like I'm saying, the Patriots, everything's kind of going their way. Like there's not a juggernaut. Like the teams that are tied with you for the top of the division or the top of the conference are the Colts, who I certainly don't believe in. I don't think you guys believe in. I don't think anybody believes in totally. I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're like Super Bowl bound. And then the Broncos, who I also am. I know last week I said like I'm in, but then they put up a stinker. They win the game. They're winning these games, but they look terrible doing it. So, and then the Chiefs are on their way. The Broncos are on their way. The Bills are failing. Like I just don't see a juggernaut. That's why I'm saying like, I'll take anybody in our house. I really will.
Yeah. I would agree too. It's just, it just doesn't, it's like this is the year you sneak into a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. They could go win it this year. And then next year have like a 9-win season. Like I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing about, I think, the Colts and the Broncos would be if you ask a Colts or a Bronco fan, they would be saying the same thing about Probably. Us and then the other one. Like, do we really believe in the Patriots? They would probably be like, no, they haven't been really tested yet, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
I that's probably true.
You know, so we're kind of all in the same boat. It's really anybody's, you know, chance to win out there. I mean, you have a six-sided dice and the odds are even on it for everybody.
I think it's still the Chiefs are the favorites, and until they get knocked off, they're gonna win it, but we'll see.
They're still gonna make the playoffs.
Correct, Tucker. So the Chiefs lost last week to the Bills. They were on a bye, and the Bills go out and get smoked by the Dolphins. Their offense looks terrible. It just looks disjointed. The fans are starting. It's so funny because the fans are starting to be like, oh no, here come the Patriots. We're not what we were supposed to be. The window is closing. It's awesome. Fans are calling for Joe Brady's job, the offensive coordinator. I think McDermott should be gone. I think I made a take that he should be gone in the offseason. Something's not right. Do I think that they're cooked? I don't think they're cooked. I think they have enough talent to get back into it. But something's not right, and they are running out of time to kind of figure out the fix. So, Tucker, what do you think of the Bills? Do you think they have any chance of winning the East?
They're two games back now.
Two games back, and we have the tiebreaker head to head.
And we got a game that we play against them. So could we lose the tiebreaker there? I don't know how.
So
that works.
Yes. So yes, we lose that if they beat us, which I honestly think they will. If they beat us, and I'm not afraid to say that because I said I thought the Bucks will beat us. So if they beat us, that tiebreaker goes away, but we still have a game on them. So say we win out and lose that game, we're far and away AFC East champions, but things would have to break a lot their way at this point for them to win the division.
I don't think it's dead. I think that they're definitely alive for it, but it's, you know, I don't think they're I mean, we're heavily favored at this point. We got an easy schedule. We face them once. We're up two games, though.
I think if we beat them, it's over. Like we won it.
Yeah, I also think that's a team that can beat any team on the road in the playoffs, though. So yes, I think the Patriots win the AFC East. I'm not saying that's the end of the last we hear about them, though.
Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if they had to go into Kansas City in the first round, though? Wouldn't that just be great?
Well, the Kansas City winning the division, I don't think is likely either.
I agree.
I mean, they got to beat the – they have to – what, they're third in the division right now?
Yeah.
Are they third? Yeah, they're behind the Broncos and the Chargers. That's wild.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be – those guys could – neither of those teams could play a road game this – I mean, home game in the playoffs. They could be the, you know, 5 and 6 seeds or even 6 and 7.
So that's the one thing about getting the one seed that kind of sucks this year is you're looking at potentially Ravens, Chiefs, Bills in the three away games, like the three away teams.
I think Ravens do win their division.
I do. I also agree.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's the one team that I genuinely do. I do not believe in this Steelers team.
Somehow find a way to be 5 and 4 and atop the division halfway through the year.
It's awesome, dude. Dill, how concerned about the Bills are you?
About the Bills? I'm not really concerned about the Bills. In my mind, we're evenly talented with the Bills.
Okay, so you answered it in a different way, like, as a Patriots fan, you're not concerned about them, but like if you're a Bills fan, how concerned are you?
Very concerned. This team has not improved in the past 4 years. They've either steadily declined. I can't, like, I'm sure they've added a few pieces. I couldn't name you a single player, impact player, that they've added to their roster. They just have slowly lost people. And Allen is just, he's just a funny quarterback. He's another funny quarterback. They had their shot, what, 5 years ago, give or take, and they blew it. They've had a couple chances of beating the Chiefs when they've had good teams and they couldn't get it done. Window is slowly closing, I think, for them. But like I said, it's a coin toss still. I put the Bills and the Patriots at like very evenly strength. And I think you can make an argument that 5 other teams in the conference are also in the same boat, very evenly matched. So, you know, you never really know. I think the future is not great for them. I mean, they still have a great quarterback in Allen. He's just a funny dude. Something's got to be different up there. Either they need to shell out some more money for some more impact players or move the team to somewhere warmer. I don't know, but something's got to happen.
This is why the NFL rules. This is just chaos. What was I going to say? Oh, Tucker, to your point of quarterbacks need to be married or divorce to win a Super Bowl. It seems like since he got married, he's been worse. Thoughts?
Who's got married?
Josh Allen, and his wife told him you're more than a football player, and now he's
and
not playing.
And my debate was, didn't Drake May get married this year?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd say Josh Allen could now win it. I think Dylan actually hit the nail on the head with the Bills aren't that talented of a football team. Well, they have bad receivers. I mean, Keon Coleman's their wide receiver 1, and he's not that good. But Josh Allen, I feel like, is a one-man wrecking crew with this team. I believe he's still in the top 5 of MVP voting. So I'm not sure where you're getting this idea that Josh Allen, not that good anymore.
Threw a couple bad picks, or threw a bad pick, and had a fumble in this game.
Yeah, he looked really bad against the Chiefs.
He beat the Chiefs.
I meant the Dolphins.
The Fins.
Yeah. No, I agree. He did not look good this game, but, you know, one game doesn't make a man.
All right, some other games. Tucker, do you think Caleb Williams is good?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I do believe Caleb Williams is good. He makes big plays when they're needed. He looked good running the football in this game. He was competent. He was at everything this team needed. He came up in the big moments and showed up for the team. I can't really knock the guy for it. I get like people don't like him. He paints his fingernails. He says the wrong things at times, but from a QB perspective, he's playing well.
So here's what I have to say on him. I'm not around on him yet because I think he's playing better. I think the head coach has a massive reason to do with that. And I think the same is true in New England. So I'm not going to like fault him for that. But I need to see more of the passing. The running has been better. And that's been kind of his, you know, the running is making a difference for him. But I still feel like half the time he's running around with his head cut off, trying to look for a big play. I need to see more pocket in pocket.
I don't disagree with you there. But he makes really good passes when he does. I think his biggest issue is that he holds the ball too long. And that was his biggest issue last year. I think it's still his biggest issue this year. But
I'm upgrading him from sucks to might not suck. I'm upgrading him.
Now, if I was doing QB rankings right now, he'd probably be at around like 17.
That's fair, I think.
Which, yeah, 17th best QB in the NFL. Mark it down.
Caleb Pretty Williams. Good for Bears, honestly. Pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. He's might be the best QB already in Bears history.
Dylan, massive Caleb hater. Anything moving for you with how the Bears are playing? The Bears are 6-3, which is pretty damn good, honestly. And I have them sneaking in the playoffs in my preseason bracket. I don't know where they're at right now. They're obviously in a horrible division. I think what the Lions are in, the Packers are in, the Vikings stink. So they're probably what, third in the division right now? Second. No, they're second with the Packers.
Yeah,
the Packers. So they're second in the division. So any thoughts changing on Caleb Williams with how the Bears are playing this year? They've also got a brutal schedule coming up, by the way. They play like the Lions and the Packers, and they're gonna lose some games.
Yeah, I see. I'm tapped in a little bit to Bears Twitter, and like they're 6-3, and they're like doors open to maybe make the playoffs. Like they're not like we did it, guys. They're like we got a chance.
It's so funny how we all are like. Getting like Cam said he's tapped in. What did he say? What team? You're tapped into the Bears. Panthers. He said he was on Packers Twitter.
Panthers, I thought.
He said Packers because the Matt LaFleur stuff. He's got Packers Twitter. And then I got a lot of Bills Twitter. But I think it's from hating, but it's just funny how we all have like a second team Twitter coming up. But sorry, Dylan, to derail you.
Excuse me. I think the Packers finish 8-9, maybe 9-8, yeah, 9-8. I'll give him 9-8.
The question's on the Bears, though.
Yeah, that's all right. That's what I meant. I was looking at the Packers.
Gotcha.
A lot of tough games coming up. Like as a team, yes, they're running into young QB issues. I mean, the things you're describing, the things that we see from Caleb, are all kind of young QB-esque things. I remember watching the crying aspect is just the icing on the cake. I remember watching Josh Allen run with the ball like he was holding it face down. It was very odd. Way back when, you know, you run into these things as a young QB with a young team, and they have a decent offense. So they got some weapons. Their defense is atrocious. And I think that's kind of the pitfall of the team in terms of wins, is mostly defensive related. Which is, I feel like the Bears have historically had good defenses. So it's kind of funny. I'm not in on Williams yet. He has a decent record for his first, what is it? He played last year. Last year was,
I don't
his
even
first
remember
year.
What their record was. Yeah, last year. I mean, would you, Tucker?
I think they had
so,
8 wins.
So would you?
They
would you
started
take
off hot like and then they lost
5-13
game.
Or something like that? I think they were like 5-13 or something like that.
Mayor Williams.
I mean, that's not a question. It's Drake May. I say he's the 17th best QB. Like, I'm nice to him, but come on, what are we gonna do next? Josh Allen or Kyler Murray? Like, what are these questions?
The thing with me with Williams is, yes, he's like kind of a scrappy running the ball QB. I mean, he did throw for 280 yards last week.
Baby.
But he's not like, he's fast, right? Like, is he elite speed? Is he like,
no.
Is he like, I'm going to tailor my offense like, no. Like we did for Lamar Jackson? No. Can he throw the ball like an elite, one of the best throwers of the ball ever? No. Is he tall? No. He doesn't have really anything going for him other than he was painting his fingernails and crying to his mom. So I got nothing for the guy. I think he's going to end up being halfway decent. He's like baby Kyler Murray. So, and he's not doing well.
Stinks, by the way.
Yeah. So he's 70% Kyler Murray at his best. So I'm out.
I think he's better than Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray was the greatest QB to ever play football for his first 2 years of his career.
Dylan Venom, 300 episodes later, dropping fucking bangers. Tucker, what are we on that time? You got any time warnings yet?
I have sent you two. We were at 5 minutes about a minute ago.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Okay, so I'll skip my topic. Just quickly, I'll say two teams we haven't talked about, Seahawks, Rams. Super
Love
Bowl
the Rams.
Potential. Love the Rams from Dill. What do you got, Tuck? Seahawks, Rams, one word, two words.
Seahawks, elite, Rams. I'm going to put a lowercase f.
Ooh, that's interesting. I think the Rams are much better than the Seahawks. I think Sam Darnold's going to turn into a pumpkin at some point.
I think Sam Darnold, yeah, I don't believe in the Seahawks for a Super Bowl contender, but I do think they're good.
All right. Parlay, gentlemen.
Yeah, I got to pull it
Pats
up quick.
Pats are at 13.5? That's insane. We don't bet Thursday games anyway. That's insane.
I love that. Not that I'm not going to take it, but I haven't seen a Pats line that high.
That's insane. I know it's
before sports betting was legal.
They literally haven't been favored by that much since we've been on these apps. Oh, man. Giants +7 is juicy against the Packers. The fired coach, dead cat bounce. Oh, man. Oh, we got Rams and Seahawks playing each other this week. That'll be interesting. Who's real? Who's an F?
I got Panthers +3.5. Rip it. Falcons are bad.
Panthers +3.5. Okay.
I love that bet, Dill. I absolutely love that bet. I just want to shout you out for that one.
While I'm looking, by the way, I am instituting the small F back onto the Broncos, and I am adding a capital F to the Packers, just so everyone's aware. Broncos or Chiefs -3.5 sounds real good against the Broncos. I always lose on Chief bets, though. Lions +2.5 Sunday night football.
We got 2 minute warning.
Tucker, what are you looking at? What do you got? What do you like?
I just got it up. Oh.
All right. I'm going to do something I don't think we've ever done on this podcast. I cannot remember the last time we bet on the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, brother.
They're playing the Commanders. They're playing the Commanders. Oh, it's at 9:30.
Oh, where is this being played?
Madrid,
Espana. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're running out of time. I don't know what line to take. I'll take Chargers minus three. Chargers minus three.
Oh, you motherfucker. The grossest line of the week was Jaguars plus three.
If you want to take it, I'll switch. If you want to take it,
no,
I'll switch.
No. I'm not, you never push a guy off a line to take the opposite. That's
I don't love it. I don't love it. I don't love it.
Yeah, but I don't like – I'm not pushing you off to take it.
I'm going to Rams. No, I'm not.
Tuck, put your money where your mouth is. Seahawks plus 2.5 Rams.
Yeah, it's not gross, though.
Cardinals plus 2.5 is disgusting.
Yeah, I was looking at Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals plus 2.5.
All right, there we go. All right, Wasted Takes, episode 300. 300 special. We're still here. We're still going. See you for 400. Thanks for getting wasted with us. We'll see you next week. So long.
Yep.